great.
Yeah, I wanted to do superpowers. That seems light and, you know, a pretty vast subject.
Superpowers. I love that. First, let's start with, do you believe superpowers exist?
Yeah.
Yes, all right. I like this. Give your reasoning.
I believe in cognitive superpowers. It's like the if you ever hear about the monks who spend all day, every day meditating, they can actually expand their brain size. It's scientifically proven through X-ray.
So,
and I think most skills you can acquire is kind of a superpower. If you really think about it, it's like, you know,
we were on the same page for this.
Play soccer. If you think about the people who play soccer, it's like, I'm thinking, man, I can't kick the ball and make it twirl and go into the net like that. That's like some crazy stuff.
Right? I was thinking about that too, with like doctors, with nurses, with firemen and cops. Like those type of professions are like, not everyone can do those. There's a reason not everyone can do those. It's a superpower. Well, everything has a superpower. Sports, your gifts, your talents, your creativity.
Yeah, right there. Like, what's your PR in a 400? Right there on the spot. Lay it on the table.
I think it's a 48.8.
48.8. Yeah, that's a superpower. I would wager people who don't run can't come close to that.
Yeah.
And just like, the Olympics. Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm not even scratching their nuts, you know, like in a 400 meter run at all.
Right, but that's also like perspective too. So that's like, we share these superpowers. It's just one has more application and dedication to than others do, which requires, or not requires, which acquires greater reception of that gift. Like, you think of how much time and effort Olympians, professional athletes put in on not only their body, but their mind, their health. And then they have to balance, you know, a normal life as well. I mean, they're making a lot of money. Like, they're making a lot of money doing it. So it seems like it's worth it, but not everyone can do it. And there's a reason. You have to tap into the depth of the superpower. You know, you have to tap into something greater than yourself. Like, you have to get past that ego, that instinct, and into like the intuition and peace and the grace and joy of it. And I feel like that enhances superpowers. What do you think?
I think that's a motivational thing. It's like, if you're more passionate about running than your teammate, I think that already gives you an edge, because I think I have a better example away from sports. It's like, I'm learning Spanish, right? And I have the drive to learn Spanish more than I care about being embarrassed that I'm not fluent, you know? I want to get better more than I care about how much work it's going to take. And, you know, that type of drive is dangerous when you're trying to acquire something. It's like, why, it's the bitter end.
Dangerous, though?
In a good way.
A good dangerous. Interesting. Like, risky.
Yeah. I mean, I really meant that to, like, you know, maybe I should have used a different word, but, you know, just colloquially.
No, I understand fully.
Yeah, it's just, it's hard to beat someone who doesn't give up or has a better drive to win or succeed than you do.
And that, like, I think that defines, like, each individual person as, you know, not just romanticizing our differences, but, like, accepting each other's differences and understanding that we all don't have to share the same drive or mentality for everything, as long as it's in our gifts, our passion, what we care about. And then, well, in Yeah, and then sharing that passion with others, you find like purpose. So that's maybe the greatest superpower of all, is when we stop letting others define who we are and not conforming to other viewpoints of how we should live life, how we should be ourselves. You disconnect from the misguidance and into your own inner guidance. And I think we all share that. That's like a superpower we all share. And maybe it's like repressed right now and just starting to come out, you know, maybe for our society. I don't know, it seems different. Like time, like we're not all linear in the same place with thought and feelings, right?
Yeah.
So we're not like all collectively happy or sad at the same time. So if you apply that with like time as well, and where we are in life is where we're meant to be currently. But collectively, we all share this inner guidance that's taking us greater and further or farther than ourselves.
Would you say that inspiring is a power? The power to inspire?
Oh, yeah.
And if we name some of the big chiefs from history, it's like Dr. Martin Luther King. It's
Ooh, that's great.
Damn, that man could preach.
Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Even John F. Kennedy. I'm trying to think of some others. Michael Jackson, you think about, like, if you dive into, like, singers, like, their impact on, like, everyone is crazy. Like, it's a form of either inspiration, healing. It's like a form of connection, and that's super interesting to me.
Yeah, it's like the ability to tap into emotion along with expressing your own passion for whatever it is. That's something about that. That's EQ stuff, like emotional quotient. And in other words, emotional intelligence. You know how to emotionally appeal to people while expressing your own passion.
Mm-hmm. Connecting, yeah.
Connecting.
The science of that is amazing. Like if you look into like Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, Bruce Lipton, they show like how the neuroplasticity in your brain and how neurons are fired by your thoughts and emotions, and how we can relive, you know, certain high emotional instances in our lives. If it was either good or bad, we can relive those and create more of that same chemically compound fracture for us to, you know, feel good or feel bad. Like, yeah. That's super interesting.
Yeah, feeling good, feeling good about yourself is a superpower. And it's like the power to inspire yourself. And yeah, it's like, yeah, if something's hard to contemplate, but you know a lot of other people can do it, don't they have a superpower?
What do you mean? What do you mean with the contemplation?
I mean, if you know that, if like confidence in something is, like if confidence is the goal in something, and you kind of feel down on yourself, but you see that other people have that confidence, like, I guess the bullet point is confidence a superpower?
Yeah, we stated that everything can be a superpower. It's just how we like perceive and how much passion there is into it. Like some superpowers are greater than others.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't know if all superpowers are equal in the aspect of strength and power behind it.
Everyone has, every superpower has its niche, I would assume. It's like, yeah, you know, the power to breathe underwater doesn't help you in the desert, does it?
certainly does not. That would be a terrible superpower to come across that moment. You're stuck in the desert and you're like, dang, if only I was underwater, I could get through this with ease.
You know, Martian Manhunter from DC Comics, he can fly through space, but like the man cannot be in hot weather. It's kind of sad that it is funny.
What happens if he's in hot weather too long?
His skin catches on fire and he dies.
Oh, okay. So I guess every superpower must have its dark side as well. That balance.
Yes, it's like, I thought about this concept a long time ago. It's like, sure, having a superpower or a quirk is great and all, but you have to accept what comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also watched this old TV show, Static Shock.
Ooh, I love that. That was a great show.
I love it. And we could get more into it in a second, but there was this one episode where someone stole his electrical powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, so you stole my powers, but you also took my weakness. So he dumped a bucket of water on him as he was powering up. Then he just fizzled out and short-circuited.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like you took his power, so you took his weakness too.
Yep.
That's very interesting. You can apply that to live stuff too. It's like you want one part of life, but you have to accept whatever comes with it. And yeah. I think it's kind of crazy how superpowers come in.
That's crazy. Like, in order to have this gift, you must accept the opposite of a gift as well.
Yep.
So nothing is like overpower, so no superpower has one, like, greater priority over another, because they all have weaknesses. It's like, yeah, equal footing then. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. I would watch the equal footing part, but I would say superpowers.
Well, equal footing as in, like, you can't reign your power over someone without having a weakness as well.
Yeah. You know, yeah, if I was Superman, a rock would catch would, like, make me weak.
Right? Isn't that interesting? I wonder why they chose, like, kryptonite to be his weakness, like a stone.
They needed something.
That's true. I guess if he can do everything on Earth, you need something, like, so crazy that you're like, oh, okay. So this man can do everything he wants, but a rock is gonna stop him.
He bathes in the sun to recharge.
Wow, that's like an actual thing. You can do that. Maybe that's what they're telling us. Wow.
Yeah. Like, so yeah, they needed something to kill. I mean, like, or how, oh, I guess he's also weak to magic. He's also vulnerable to magic. It's not a weakness, but he's vulnerable because it works.
Yeah, because it's like a playing field that he's in. Because technically, yeah, what he does is magical.
Is it, though?
Yeah, man, he can, like, be impenetrable. Like, come on.
But that's the natural energy from the sun that gives him that ability. That's not magic, though.
How is it's that like, not what, magic? The sun is giving him energy.
See, in DC, this is, like, nerd stuff, but in DC, they have so many, like, actual sorcerers and magicians with, like, who use actual magic, and it's like the way it works in that universe is kind of like, it's explained that Superman gets his powers from like the yellow sun from the Earth instead of the red sun from his planet, and that's what gives him his, like, his unhuman like abilities. Okay. And the actual sorcerers, they, like, enchant things, they actually say incantations. You know, even Green Arrow shot, like, a magical arrow at Superman and, like, cut his face open.
Yeah, so it's magic, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Does Batman have superpowers? I feel like he has fucking superpowers. There's no way.
He has the superpower of will.
Nope, that's Green Lantern. But I know what you mean, though. I just wanted to throw a monkey wrench in there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the reason they have the rings is because they have great willpower, and they were recognized by the guardians who make the rings. And he literally, his ring is literally powered by his own willpower. It's kind of like Haki from One Piece.
I wonder what, why they chose to make him all green. Is that like the, is willpower backed by the color green? Is that like something they share?
Well, I mean, I guess in the DC universe, it's a green color. They actually have a bunch of different rings that give you the similar power, but they're based with different emotions. Like, you can have a Green Lantern ring that's actually purple, but it runs on the power of love, not will. So, I guess there's like a few different colors.
Would they be the Purple Lantern then?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a black ring that runs, I guess it's like when you have the power of all the spectrums, but you're like evil, so you get the black ring, and I guess you can control the dead with it or some crazy shit.
Remember when DC tried to make the Green Lantern into a white dude with Ryan Reynolds? Is it Ryan Reynolds?
I think so, maybe.
That movie was a flop. Like, they're trying to get rid... First of all, there's not many black superheroes in the comics, you know? Or not as many as I'd like.
Yes. 2020 is kind of, like, bringing that up today.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we have progressed further than where... when I'm still thinking as a child.
Yeah, as a child, that sucked.
You're just like looking at all these white people and you're like, damn, why is all the strong people white?
Yeah, it's like, that's something I thought when I was younger too. Like, mom, how come like all those heroes and protagonists are white?
Right.
And main characters, they're all white. And it's like, you feel like life is just meant for white people, you know? And that's not, that, and that ain't cool.
I saw that they were doing that, like, I think it was Disney was doing that with their female characters. They would give them lead roles but make them very stereotypical and almost codependent on a man, even though they have the lead role. Maybe it was Nick. Yeah. Do you know that TV show Pixie Fairy? What was it?
Fairy. Is it a cartoon?
Yeah, it was on Disney when we were kids. Or maybe it was Cartoon Network.
I think it might be Nickelodeon. I think I remember something called Pixie something, but it was like, I don't know. I think it was like a girly show, so I didn't watch it.
There was Total Spies too.
Oh, I watched that.
I love that show.
Yeah, they remind me of the Powerpuff Girls. But
damn, I love the Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, you know, they actually make a version of them that are black, you know, like on some merch.
What are they called? Powerpuff Girls still?
It's still Powerpuff Girls. Okay, but good. Yeah, okay, they're not doing like some condescending shit with it. It's just that, like, you know, expression of color, you know.
Well, I just didn't want like them to like, this is the Powerpuff Girls, but black. I didn't want them to do that. Like, that'd be...
Maybe like that is what they did, but like from what I've seen from it, they haven't said anything or done anything patronizing with it. It's just like, you know, just like increase your color spectrum with some of these cartoons, you know. That's how I interpret it.
Yeah, that's, we're on the same page. I'm saying I'm glad that they didn't, you know, portray a show as like the black version. Like, there's still the white version, but there's a black version. And they gave it some like black name or something.
No. Yeah, I would have been pretty upset at that.
They do that with Asian culture pretty commonly, I noticed. In TV shows. Like, they'll make it sound overly Asian, or not overly Asian. What's the right word for it? They'll try to portray it as stereotypical Asian, like
that's what it's called, yeah. Is Asian stereotypes.
Yeah, like, it's in the title, too. I'm trying to think of one specifically. was like this ABC show, like Off the Boat, something like that.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, I think I see where you're going now. Yeah, probably shouldn't even say it on the fuck.
Right. That. I know, and it amazes me that there are shows like that, or that, you know, the Asian culture has to go through this exploitation, American exploitation. That's what it is. We exploit the stereotypes for some reason.
Race is very unique in America.
Right. Race as in...
I mean, just in general, it's just like our perception of race, because, you know, in other parts of the world, like, race comes across differently. Not to say that there isn't racism and stuff, like, out in Europe and shit like that, but it's like, here, it's like, we have, like, a very unique scope of, like, what race is and what niches belong in what.
Yeah, that's a good... We love to over-identify and give labels.
Yeah, we do. And we're just now becoming, like, super aware with it to, like, damn it, you're gonna get more racially and politically educated on this shit. And I think that's, like, where some of the cancel culture stuff came in, but it's, like, it's not all bad, because it is holding people to a higher standard.
Yeah, that's true. We're reaching to the extreme just to be, like, it's almost like making a point at that moment when you try to go to the extreme of something to get something across, like a message, and be like, yeah, we shouldn't be identifying gender as this or that because it leads to discrimination and prejudice, all that type of stuff.
We're definitely going to a sensitive era. And I, as coming from a sensitive person, I like that concept, but it's like, damn, I do like my comedy too, and damn, is that gonna go away?
Well, I think maybe comedy, we should make this more approachable from a comedy standpoint, because they have to like obviously comedy is gonna evolve. So like, it's just them adapting to what's acceptable.
Yeah.
And I think things are still funny even without being motored by race or gender. Instead of relying on stereotypes.
Yeah, I feel like stereotypes is a trigger for either good or bad. It's like it either crosses funny as fuck, or it's like, that's the line. That's the line.
I don't know how they deal with it. That's a... That must be such a frustrating concept for them, trying to share something funny and also not overly offensive.
They gotta be politically aware for sure, or else you can't be a comedian.
Yeah, I would imagine they would have to. I mean, the analytics behind it now probably supports that. But back in the day, I don't think they cared. They were just trying to make
you can
it
say what whatever, you want.
Yeah, whatever made people laugh, they'll rely on that as a crutch if they have to.
Hey, you know, I do enjoy a good laugh and, like, you know, having thick skin for the sake of, like, comedy, because it is, like, medicine for the soul. But it's, like, I feel that some of those jokes teach the wrong people bad lessons. It's, like, you know, like, I feel like when I was younger, I ignorantly repeated things I would hear randomly because, like, it was in a joke. And I wasn't self-aware of, like, how bad it sounded. Like, outside of a joke, or like what it really meant, because like, I took things too seriously.
Yeah, maybe that's how we should approach comedy, like, because they're making an effort too, we also have to make an effort in understanding that some things are meant to be jokes, and they're like kind of like a nostalgic reference to a time period of how we lived. So maybe if we came across or came at it at that point, we wouldn't get offended by comedy so much, or people wouldn't get offended by comedy. I don't know.
Yeah, like, please, everyone, put your thickest skin on for comedy. Let's save the jokes, like some of them at least.
And I guess if you really don't find it funny, you can express it.
I say just don't listen to them.
Well,
it's like what people said with Family Guy. If you don't like what they'd say on the show, don't watch it.
Well, exactly. Yeah, like afterwards, you can make that judgment for yourself. But like I'm saying, maybe come at it from like a neutral standpoint, with no emotions. And I think comedy would be more enjoyable to people. Even if like a neutral standpoint, with no emotions. And I think comedy would be more enjoyable to people. Even if like you don't like it.
So let's say you're sitting through a comedy bit and something said like kind of hits home for you personally. Mm-hmm. Like, do you overlook that or do you like say, that's not right?
I wouldn't say overlook it, but like if you feel like it's not right for you, it's not right for you. And then you can speak about it and be like, yeah, because it's your truth. Like, who am I to say like one thing is funny to another person may not be funny to someone else? Who am I to say like it has to be funny to you? But like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. You can express it. You don't have to attack the person. Like, that's
people in particular are bad at expression,
right? You can feel and think however you want from a joke and express it and share it, but also be aware of how you act on it, you know?
Yeah, I think like sometimes when people get the mentality that, oh, I'm in the right, so therefore I get to act how I want in reaction to something.
Mm-hmm.
And I say always make educated and intelligent moves. Like, being reactionary is so detrimental to your relationships and your reputation.
Is it kind of like, all right, go further on that. Because I want to go somewhere. I feel like this is going somewhere, but I need you to expand on that thought.
Okay. Well, let's see. Just being a reactionary person is like being like, okay, knowing a reactionary person is like being friends with a minefield. It's like you see them often, but every time you're around there, you feel like you're tiptoeing on eggshells, and no one wants that.
Okay, and yeah.
That's where we get into the subject of like thick skin, or do you be more sensitive towards other emotions? And how do we really find a balance, or is there really a balance? Is this just going to be a continual discussion of boundaries and stuff like that?
Okay, so it's not like thick skin, but it's not taking things personal or taking so much like of what you see here outside personal, right?
Yeah,
you want to, okay, so you want to feel and think how you feel or think and then you want to not take things so personal because it's not like meant to be a personal attack.
Yeah, see, and that's where we get into the subject of good evil. I mean, it's like they had good intentions, but what were their actions really like necessary or like carried out the best way, like in considered of how you would take something? And that's where the line comes. It's like, I feel like there's never going to be a concrete ground until you know the person and their personal sensitivities.
Yeah. So like from like, as you know, communicating and understanding other people as strangers, from the stranger aspect, not making snap judgments and, you know, respecting them just because they're a person, they're a living being. So that's a great way to approach it. And then once you get to know someone, then you get to really feel the sense of who they are, who they want to be, who they're becoming. That's interesting.
It also takes patience too, because not like a lot of us don't have a ton of patience to like wait to know how someone takes offense to something before we like open our mouth and say what we want, you know. I feel like we were all guilty of it at some point, or will be, you know. Nobody's perfect,
dude. dude, always. That's like, I think that's ego, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, whenever we try to rush things or control things further than they need to be controlled, that's like our ego. So it's not like a bad thing. It's just something we react instantly wanting, you know, something to go through because we're either anxious or, you know, paranoid. We're in fear. We're in the feeling of lack. So we feel like a little defensive, you know, on attack mode, survival mode, I would say. I read something of ego, instinct, and intuition. And it was telling you like the list, like a list of things, symptoms or whatever, of how to know which one you're in. And the ego is basically like self-defense, trying to keep you safe, comfortable, overly aware. So that's your beta brainwaves if you're like a science geek. And then your instinct is like reactionary. So like you're reacting to a ball being thrown at you and you catch it. You turn right when you see someone step out in front of you, you know, something like that. Mm. And then your intuition is peace. It's a knowing without knowing the how you know about something, you know? Have you ever felt that? Like, yeah. I just know that this is going to happen. I can't explain it to you. I just know.
Yeah, your intuition.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought, like, superpowers, if we're going to go to superpowers, that's what all three of those superpowers.
Yeah, the superpower of intuition. Like, did you also say ego?
Yeah, of course, ego. Yeah, because there is like good ego too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's there for a reason. It's like a shield to protect us. If you want to like visually encrypt, it's a shield to protect you and a sword.
That's necessary. Yeah, it's necessary. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like I'm one of those people who would say there's nothing wrong with having an ego. As long as it's properly regulated, because having an ego in the wrong places can actually hurt that ego, you know? And yeah, it's like, then for example, it's like, I knew these guys who were like, you know, they thought they were gangsters, you know? But, you know, most gangsters these days are kind of just like wannabes. They want to be gangster, and I get it. You know, it's fun to talk about shooting people, and it's fun to like talk about like, you know, just let's just live in the lie.
But it's fun to talk about shooting people. What?
Well, we can get into that.
I get what you mean. I'm sorry. That was just funny to me.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, but it's fun to talk about that lifestyle and shit, but it's like, but actually taking on the things that come with it, like we talked about earlier, no one wants to do that. And so back to the point, my two old friends, they thought they were like gangster, you know, and you know, someone telling them in front of people like, you know, you're not really that hard, you know, you live in the suburbs, you gotta like chill out on some of this, like, oh, I'll mess them up, I'll do all, I know, I no, that would hurt their ego if someone said that.
Right, so the ego is like, we need balance in that too. Like the balance between all three, your ego, instinct, and intuition. Like your instinct and or ego kind of are together because they're more primal and more survival mode energies. And then intuition is like easy, it's flowing. It's like relaxed, peace, joy, enlightenment, love, whatever, you know, it's that.
Ignorance can be bliss too. It's like, I think we also got to check our own intuition, because I feel like mine has been wrong sometimes, and you know, but it is the easiest pathway, and I think it is important. It's important to trust your own intuition. Mm. But it's like, we also got to check it from time to time and not just like bathe in the bliss of it all.
I'm so glad you said that, because I just checked my intuition recently. I've been dealing with a lot of stress, but I've been repressing it, you know, and trying to stay as positive and strong and optimistic, you know, as possible.
Yeah.
So I repressed the stress, and the stress then manifested itself into body hives. So I was having body hives for like 3 days, just randomly. During the day, I'd start itching and these big red rash bumps that looked like large bug bites, you know, would appear all over my body, and I'm all itchy. And I was realizing that my stress, like my intuition has been telling me I'm stressed out. I need to relax more. You know, I need to do things that I love and not be stuck in fear. Like, I need to change. Like, my body, like, everything was telling me to change. But I was so focused on my intuition of the future that I envisioned that I forgot about my present, current moment of thoughts and feelings. And that I had to check myself. So I have to, like, get back in the moment, you know, meditation, yoga, what, you know, just doing whatever you love, I guess, gets you back in the moment, you know? And so, yeah, you definitely have to check your intuition, because my intuition was so focused on something that wasn't currently here that it forgot about my, like, what I'm currently feeling and thinking. It's almost like chronic daydreaming and chronic stress. So I was like doing the polar opposites of being here right now. I was like living so much in the future that I forgot I was here, or I'm so stressed out about where I'm going that I forget I'm here. So it's like balance for sure. Gotta get that intuition checked.
Yeah, that's a superpower. Power of intuition. Like, I think the first stage is how good is your intuition. The second stage would be how good are you at checking it.
How do you check your intuition?
I search for perspective. You know, okay. It's like I'm a liberal eating guy, all right, and it's like, and I listen to Republican news stations and talk shows, and it's like, it's because I want their dialogue, you know, I want to listen to their dialogue so I can understand their mindset. And right. Once I understand their mindset, I think that can lead to a better conversation. And I think sometimes having conversations is overrated, because, like, think about how, like, a hot take goes in a conversation one-on-one or even in a group. It's like sometimes it's chaos, and it's like you don't really want to accept what the other person is saying because you'll lose face. And there's just those personal defenses that come up. But if you just listen, like, undisputedly to someone, you can understand their mindset.
Okay, what happens if the other side isn't willing to go that same measure and effort as you are?
Well, that's more ignorance on their part.
Okay, so we shouldn't be concerning ourselves with, like, other people's thoughts. Is that where I'm going with where?
Well, I would say that, like, back to the subject matter, is how do I check my intuition? You know, it's gaining perspective. It's also knowing that I'm not a saint. Sometimes I do the wrong thing. I'm capable, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's also notarizing the fact that you're not a saint. It's like no one's a saint. It's kind of like I don't know how familiar you are with, like, Reddit trends, but, you know, like hashtag nice guy, just those trends like that. It's like no one's a saint. No one's, like, really that nice. It's like we all have a motive and we all try to be kind. And it's like, you know, having that intuition is kind of putting yourself on a high horse, like, you know, like I'm the purest form of judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I agree. No one is a saint, but peace. My saint, my hero, peace. I feel like that's a saint. You know, the superpowers are saints.
Yeah.
So, like, the non-physical reality of things, that's like the saint. And we're not saints. We're just... Have you ever, like, thought of, like, in the moment, like, trying to define human beings, what we are? how simplistic it is, but also complex at the same time. Because at the end of the day, we don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, I just figured that, you know, we're creatures on this planet, right? And we're apparently the smartest creatures on this planet, right? And we also consider our own existence. And I feel like that alone is what makes it complex.
Yeah, have you ever, well, obviously, like, I think everybody's noticed this, but we're the only creatures on this planet that have to pay to live here. Like, yeah. Isn't that amazing? Like, what? Like, that's so confusing to me. How, like, why that's a thing. Like, in order to live here, you have to struggle. Which I feel like the majority of people do.
I feel like life is a struggle for every living thing. It's like, you see those baby lizards hatch from the egg? They're trying to reach the water before the snakes eat them.
That's a good point. It's like the circle of life aspect.
People used to trade, you know, trade for a currency. I think just like, it was just simpler to someone easier. To use bills.
Well, I mean, I don't have an issue with money. I have like an issue that we are all not like given an equal footing coming in, or like, since this is the time, if you think about it, we're in like an age, an era where, at least for America and, you know, the more developed quote unquote societies, but like, we're in this era of where we have so much of everything available for us, except for coming into this world and having stability. Like, we're not on the same equal footing. Like, some people have more stability than others. Others have to be stuck in, you know, the survival mode. You know, there's kids that, you know, work two jobs or skipping school to help pay rent for their family.
Wow.
Like, I'm just saying, I would love to see us all have a place of stability where we don't have to worry about having a place to live. That's the only thing I want, like, to see us all achieve.
Yeah, the question is, how is that vision achieved?
I'm not sure how, but I tell you what, I'm not gonna stop and give up on trying to find the answer, because I believe there is an answer.
There you have it.
Damn, you know, like, Jesus? Superpower. He's like the embodiment of superpower. I was just like, bam. Buddha? That's
superpower.
Those enlightened people, they weren't like telling us anything outlandish. They were telling us we are literally powerful. We just have to apply it and allow it.
That's humans amazing. Are pretty dangerous, you know. It's like, if like, like, pretty much every animal on the planet is our bitch, you know. We put them in cages.
I mean, yeah, that's where,
like, we can do anything we want.
That's true. We've taken our power for advantage. We've taken advantage of our power too greatly, instead of just letting things live and deciding to control everything, cut down all the trees. Even though we're creating more pollution than necessary, we've overextended our power. I think we need to dial it back a little bit.
Yeah. So, dialing it back to Batman, like, does he have superpowers?
Dialing it back to Batman. I totally forgot that. That's like one of the things we talked about. We never got an answer on it. Damn, does he have superpowers? He has something. Like, if we're going, like, we all have superpowers, what would he have? What is his superpower? Bravery? Courage?
He has courage, for sure. That's a superpower.
I mean, because this dude has no, like, out-of-world powers, but he goes out into battle, like, fearless almost. Like, he's accepting that he could die, but he's okay, willing to do it.
So I pulled up a list of his primary skills. He is a genius intellect, so he has a high brain function.
Damn, how did we not think of that? That's so true.
Yep, he's a master detective, meaning that he's good at deciphering things and making connections. He's a master combatant, obviously. He's proficient in, I think, almost every martial art I heard somewhere. Yeah, someone somewhere stated that, like some big YouTube channel called Death Battle.
Yeah, so it's dedication, nice.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like martial arts, like being proficient in a fighting style, that's the superpower. Like if you just know how to fight, that's just like...
He never gives up either. Like in any situation. Well, I mean, there's times obviously he has doubts and